If you weren't at Winter Retreat last weekend, we kicked off our kind of theme, our purpose, what we're all about, going to be all about this year here at Emerge. And that theme is simply this: it's lead the way. Because we want to be a people who follow Jesus and help lead the way in our lives and our friends' lives. So to some of you guys in this room, that may sound really difficult. And some other people in this room, that theme of lead the way, it may sound really easy. Or maybe some of you guys, you're like, oh, I don't know if I want to be a leader, or I don't know if I'm prepared to be a leader. And let me encourage you tonight, though. Neither did the disciples. The followers of Jesus, they didn't always feel prepared, and they didn't always feel ready, or they didn't feel like leadership. But look how God used them to change the world. And here's the reality. Me, as your youth pastor, I wouldn't be doing my job if I weren't challenging you guys to greatness, if I weren't challenging you guys to follow Jesus with everything you've got. So at Retreat, we began talking about the mission of God. You guys remember, what is the mission of God? Anybody remember? I got candy. Huh? Well, we it wasn't like one specific thing, but there were a few things you could say. Violet? Yeah? I can't hear you. Make disciples? Yeah, that's good. Anybody else? Somebody else? I got a Twix on the line. What is the mission of God? Huh? To scatter, yes. We'll explain that here in a few moments. Anybody else? Did we say anything else? I got it. These bite-sized Snickers are the best. It's better than a full. I was. All right, so we talked about the question we asked Saturday morning is, what is the mission of God? And so here's what we did. We looked at the very beginning. We looked at Genesis, and we looked at Genesis 1, 26 through 28. And it said this. You can see it on the screen. It said, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky and over the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures moving along on the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number." So this is significant. This is really important here because these are the first words that God has spoken to mankind. And so considering the verse, God's original mission for us is to multiply. It's to multiply. And like what we mentioned at Retreat, just to clarify some things, if you are in this room and you are not married, this kind of multiply is not for you. You need to be married to multiply like this. So multiply, though, the idea is that God wants an expanding family, an ever-expanding family. And he's basically saying, I want more people. I want more people on this earth. And so the second thing, though, that we talked about that Gabe said, he said God is calling us to scatter. What he wants us to do is to fill the earth. And the word scatter isn't in the parts where we just read, but we'll see that here in a second as we look forward. But he talks about filling the earth. He wants us to fill the earth. In other words, God isn't just saying, I want you to just hang out here forever. I don't want you to just hang out here forever. I don't want you to stay in one spot forever. God isn't saying to just be here. He doesn't create the Garden of Eden and then tell them to stay there forever. No, he wants them to take what he started and take it and expand it and spread it all throughout the earth. So Genesis 9, this is God speaking to Noah. We're going to skip forward a little bit. Because I just really quickly want to show you guys how God called us to scatter, to multiply. So Genesis 9, this is God speaking to Noah after the great flood. And look what it says, Genesis 9, verse 7. It says, "As for you, be fruitful and increase in number. Multiply on the earth and increase upon it." And then later on, like he told Abraham, that he will become the father of many nations, or many people. And he says this too, like, so many, it'll be like the stars in the sky or the sand on the seashore. So God seems intent with a massive growing family. That's what he's wanting us to be, a massive, ever-growing family. He keeps reiterating this over and over again, and then we look at Genesis 11. And if you guys remember, I'm going to read this again. We looked at Genesis 11. This is about the Tower of Babel. So God, he asked his people to grow. He asked his people to multiply and scatter across the earth. And so what happened is as they were on their way, they were scattering, they were moving, they were going. And what they do is they stopped and they settled and they built a tower. They were intentionally, they tried to build a tower so big that they could make a name for themselves. If you remember reading that, and it says this, otherwise we will be what's that next word?
Scattered.
over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the people were building. And the Lord said, if as one people, and I think I put that in there, but they're like as one people and they speak in the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they won't understand each other. So the Lord, what?
Scattered
them from there all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. That's why it's called Babel, because the Lord confused their language of the whole world. From there, the Lord, what?
Scattered
them all over the face of the earth. So God told them to what?
Scatter.
But they settled and they tried to build a name for themselves. Isn't that kind of what we do in our lives? We're always trying to build a name for ourselves. We've got our platform right here, like, hey, look at my social media. Everyone follow me. Everyone look at me. Look what I'm doing. And we're trying to build a platform for ourselves. We're saying, everybody come and look at me. They're trying to build our name for ourselves. But we said that Babel is the anti-mission of God. And God said to multiply, and they said, you know what? We've got our family, we've got our crew, we got our people, we're good. We got one language and one people, we're good enough. But God said, scatter, and they said, no. God said, build my kingdom, and they said, you know what? We're going to build our own kingdom. The crazy thing is that Babel is really still happening today. We've got our own little towers in our own lives and where we settle. And maybe at one time we had this passion about life and we had this passion about God. And then we come to a place in our life where we have just settled. And we're not moving forward like we once were. Our name here at Emerge, Emerge Youth, Emerge means to rise up. It means to rise up, and we're meant to be a group continually on the rise, continually moving, continually rising up. And this has huge implications for us because we, when we look at the Christian kingdom, when we look at Emerge Youth, God wants us to continue to rise, not to ever settle. Not to ever settle, continue to move forward, continue to move out, continue to scatter. I love it that we can graduate students out of here and they scatter. We've had students come out of here who are missionaries, who feel called to missions, students who go to college, students who go into the workforce, students who go into all kinds of different fields, and they scatter and they're doing what God's called them to do. Emerge Youth, we need to continually rise up and scatter. And lead the way. We've got to keep moving. We got to rise up. But it requires faith. And if we don't, we don't like that because things get difficult in our lives. So we may not always see the final product of how things are going to look or how our life is going to look. And it requires us to have a faith in how God's leading us. A lot of times we like things that are familiar and things that are safe and things that are easy. But if we're a people who are going to pursue the mission of God, we have to continually be moving forward into the unknown. So, and then we looked at, we moved forward in the Bible and we actually jumped forward quite a ways because we got into the New Testament and we looked at Jesus and we looked at Matthew 2 verse 4. And I want you guys to write these things down because I'm not going to cover them. Matthew 2 verse 4, we looked at Mark 1, we looked at Luke 4, 18 and 19, Luke 19 verse 10. There are so many verses that we could cover, that we could look through, that when we're talking about Jesus and how he perfectly fulfilled the mission of God. We talked about how he trained disciples in Matthew 4, 18 to 20. It says this, come follow me and I will make you, and I will send you out to fish for people. In Matthew 28, the Great Commission, which by the way, before we move on, obviously, if you're new here and if you're not familiar to the word, to the Bible, he's not being like, hey, we got a big fishing pole and you're actually going to catch people with a hook and stuff. That's not what he's saying. He said, we're actually going to go out and we're going to, because he was talking to fishermen and he was relating to them in their language. And so, hey, put down your nets, put down your fishing poles, get out of your boat. We're going to go fish for people and we're going to go reach people and change their lives. And so, but Matthew 28 is called the Great Commission. Jesus came to them and said, all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, what? Go and make disciples of all nations. So John 20, 21 to 23, he says this, peace be with you, Jesus said. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. How did Jesus train his disciples? So he's telling them to go. He's telling them to move forward. He's telling them to scatter, to reach more people. So how did he train his disciples? Well, we talked about how the training was in the journey. That's what we talked about. The training is in the journey. He's sending us out. He's sending us out. The training is in the journey. It's in following him with everything we've got. The training is in the journey. So if we're followers of Jesus, our lives should have something to show for it. If those of us in this room, we say that we're followers of Jesus, our lives should have something to show for it. Things should be different. Like for me, my marriage should be different. My kids should be different. My family should be different. My friendships should be different. The peace and the joy that I have in my life should be different than the peace and joy that anybody else has. And I have to be, and I ought to be different than everyone else. My hope ought to be different. Something should change in me if I'm a follower of Jesus. You're in this room. You say you're a follower of Jesus. Something should change in you when you're a follower of Jesus. We're supposed to make a difference if we follow Jesus. And I want you to write this down. How do we know that we're a disciple? Disciples make disciples. See, some of us have been following Jesus for a long time, but are you discipling anyone? Are you helping anyone on their faith journey? And I know, here's what we do. We're like, well, I don't know all the, what if they ask me something I don't know? I don't know all the answers. I'm not secure in all this. I'm not sure about all this. What if they ask about dinosaurs? Like, what about that? And like, what if they ask about all these kinds of other things? How do I give an answer for that? Here's the deal. You give an answer for what God has done in your life. You don't have to immediately, hey, you can be like, hey, let me do some research. Let me talk to my pastors. Let me talk to some of my leaders. Let me talk to some people and I'll come back to you and I'll give you an answer. But here though is what God has done in my life and here how he's changed my life and here how he's made me different and here's how he's made me new. And you don't have to give an explanation for all these. You don't have to have all the answers. You just have to know what God's done in your life and walk people along that journey. Jesus, for 3 years, he pours his life into these 12 guys. They follow him around. He's showing them how to do ministry. He's showing them how to love people. He's showing them how to reach people. And the world has been changed forever since that. I understand we aren't Jesus, but if we could be moved to be a little bit closer to Jesus, a little bit more like Jesus, serving the mission of God, what kind of difference could we make in our communities? What kind of difference could we make in our schools, in our homes? Imagine the impact that could happen in our schools. And this is how we're going to lead the way. This is how we're going to reach more people. See, my goal is to see a group of students who will lead the way with their peers, who will lead the way in their schools, who will lead the way in their homes, who will lead the way at their jobs. At Emerge Youth Church, we lead the way. We're going to live on mission. Our lives are going to be on mission. And I, because I really truly believe that there's so much at stake. There's so much at stake. And I don't want to stand before Jesus someday and him ask me what I did with his mission. What am I going to answer? What am I going to say? What's my response going to be? Imagine what could happen if we got serious about the mission of God. So tonight we're going to unwrap this a little bit more, and then next Wednesday we're going to talk about it even a little bit more. And then in February, everybody perk back up, because in February, Battle of the Sexes is back. Yeah! Guys versus girls all month long, and I think there's only been one time in the history that we've ever done Battle of the Sexes that the guys have won. Just so you know. Just so you know. So, there, yeah, right.
I don't even know what that is.
You'll find out. Oh my goodness. She likes to kiss me. That's why how it gets all over me. All right, so listen. So listen. Now I want to kind of get into some a little bit. Shh. I want to get into a little bit more details, a few more things about leading the way. So considering how we stated that disciples make disciples. Let me ask you a personal question in here, and if you would be honest, and if you would give me an answer tonight, how many of you guys in this room, and I'm just asking you to be honest, how many of you guys in this room, by a show of hands, have led someone to Christ? Okay, that's actually really awesome. I'm super proud of you guys. And even if you haven't in this room, that's okay, because that's what we're going to be talking about. That's how we're going to be moving forward, and we want to equip you and give you opportunities to do that. And so that's how we're talking about how disciples make disciples. And I want to thank you guys for being honest tonight. As we lead the way, that's what I desire for us here at Emerge Youth, is that we lead the way. And here's our goal for that. Our goal for Emerge this year, and just kind of my thought for you guys, here's what I want you to do. Each one, lead one. Each one, lead one. And I know it may not be a huge goal. Maybe you're like, I already got my person picked out. I already know who I'm going to talk to. I already know who I'm going to share Jesus with. Awesome. And we want to help you do that. But each one, lead one. And here's what I'm doing. I personally am in the process of working on a little booklet, a little handbook of basically how we can continually have spiritual conversations with our friends, how we can help people find Jesus and help them find Jesus. And so the first thing is, here's how we're going to do it, how we're going to lead the way, is each one lead one. So point at yourself right here. So I will lead at least one person to Jesus this year. I'm so proud of you guys. That's awesome. But each one, that's our thought, is each one, lead one. And here's the deal. Maybe after I said that, you just kind of shut me out, because like you're like, maybe you're in this room and you're like, oh, I'm just barely even a Christian as it is. Or maybe you're even here and like, I'm not even a believer. I'm not even really a Christian. And you're like, maybe you're like, I have no idea how to share my faith. Like, or maybe you're like, I'm an introvert. Let me tell you this. We're not going to leave you alone in this. We're not just going to hang you out to dry in this. We'll help you. We're talking about building relationships. We're talking about investing in people, showing people the love of Jesus. God never called us to be perfect people. He called us to be willing people. And maybe you don't know anyone who needs Jesus, and that needs to change. Or maybe you know all sinners. You're in the perfect spot to lead the way. How great would it be if we doubled the size of Emerge Youth? If we had so many people packed in this room that we had to extend out to like the end of the room. Like, imagine your lost friends finding hope in Jesus. Imagine your friends who have no hope, who are talking about terrible things, who are doing terrible things, who their lives are hopeless and helpless, and they're just down, and they have no purpose, and they have no being. Imagine those friends finding a hope and a future in Jesus. Man, what a change that could be. And we get to play a part in that. We're going to provide opportunities for you guys to bring friends to Emerge. Battle of the Sexes is going to be awesome. You need to get your friends here. We're going to be talking about relationships and love and God's way of how to have good relationships. We want to grow to where we're, this is a personal goal for me. We've been actually been talking about this for a long time, not personal. I want it to be a goal for all of us. We want to average 100 students in this room on a weekly basis. I believe it's doable. I believe it's doable. And look around there. I don't know how many we have tonight, probably 50, 60, maybe. If each one leads one, that doubles immediately. That doubles immediately right there. So we want to average 100 people in this room on a weekly basis. That means that we've got to invite people. We just said that each one leads one. And now, though, to see growth, we want to say each one brings one. And that's what I want you to make a goal in your life, is you bring at least one person, one new person here. You get them here, and it's not, there's nothing like magical, special about being here, but actually, there kind of is. One thing we talk about being here, and we're not perfect at it, and we're always growing, we're always getting better, is that we are a family made of friends. And we want to be the kind of place, as soon as someone steps in our doors, they know and they feel that they're welcome, and they know and they feel the love of Jesus. We want each one leads one, and each one brings one. So we're going to see a lot of people come to Jesus this year. And here we've got to lead the way. We've got to lead the way. And I can't come to your schools and drag your friends here. I can't go to your neighborhoods and your communities and get into your friend groups and drag your friends here. It's got to become your heart and your passion that your friends find Jesus. This kind of actually falls under our value as of found people, find people. Those of you guys in this room who have found a relationship with Jesus, it's our job, it's our responsibility that found people find people. The next thing is we want to see 50 students go to camp this summer. We want to have to charter a bus to camp this summer to get everyone there. And I don't know about you guys, but to me, camp is one of those life-changing moments. I've been to probably hundreds of camps. Growing up, my parents and my family, we used to travel and teach and do kids camps from coast to coast, all over the place. I've been to tons of camps, and I haven't seen very many as good and as great as our camp that we go to. We need to get people to camp. We need to get people there, because when you get there, you have and you know and you feel and you discover a relationship with Jesus on a different level. You need to get them to camp. Second thing is this, on that note, I want 40 students at least to go on missions trips with us this summer. We're going to two places. We have a middle school group going, and we have a high school group going. We're going to El Salvador, and we're going to St. Louis. And here's the deal. Let me say this, little side note. There are some people that I may ask not to go because of issues or problems, or like if you give me a problem, I am not taking you out of the country. You know, just things like that. Like I'm not willing to risk it. And just so you know, we want to see a lot of people going on missions this summer. And Jesus said to go, and we want to do it. And so how many of you guys have been on mission trips with us? So, yeah, a lot of you guys have. Now, hey, how many of you guys have been, put your hand up high. You guys have been on missions trips with us, yes? Now, I'm just coughing right in the mic. Now, keep your hand up. Now, how many of you guys put your hand down if that missions trip did not impact you in some way or another? No. I'm sorry. Keep your hand up, but put your hand down if that trip did not impact you in some way or another. Man, there's something amazing of what God does in our lives on missions trips. When we go and love other people, when we go and serve, you can put your hand down now. When we go and serve other people, and when we go in to show the love of Jesus to people around the world, your faith grows when you go on a missions trip. And this is how we lead the way. For some of you, your response, here's your response. You're gonna be like, well, I've got a job, or I've got summer weights, or I've got summer football, or I've got baseball, or I'm in the band, and they practice like all the time. And here's the deal. When you're talking about making an eternal, never-ending impact on your life, camps, missions trips are going to make an eternal impact on your life. 5 days away from basketball or baseball or football will not kill your career. Let me say that again. 5 days away from baseball or basketball or your job will not kill your career. But a life-impacting experience will set you up for a great life with Jesus. You won't get to take life-changing trips like the ones that we're going to be going on very often. So consider this. Go to camp. Go on our mission trips. Let your life be changed this summer by what God wants to do in your life. Listen, I hope to see tonight, at the end of the night when we dismiss, our sign-up sheets packed full of everyone wanting to go. We've got two trips planned this summer, and we want you to going. The next thing is this. I want to see you serving somewhere in church. I want to see you serving somewhere, not just in our church, but outside of our church as well. We need to be serving our community. We need to be serving our neighborhoods. We need to be serving our schools. We need to be serving the homeless. We need to be serving the less fortunate. We need to be serving people no matter what. And show of hands, how many of you guys serve here at church somewhere? Yeah, there's a lot of us. There's a lot of us. We have opportunities, kids' church, the nursery, media team, worship team, welcome team, all kinds of areas, coffee shop, all kinds of places to where you can serve, where you can get involved. One thing, one of our values here is that saved people serve people. And I absolutely love walking into our church, walking up in kids' church, walking down in the nursery, seeing students leading worship on stage, seeing students running the media, welcoming at the door, serving in the coffee shops. That is something that's what Jesus said. The greatest among all of us are going to be people who serve. So obviously, we want you to serve in our church, but we're going to set up ways and opportunities for you to serve outside of our church. One dream of mine, one thing I would love to see you guys involved in is welcoming people at church. Typically, if a new family shows up at our church, they're going to be come on a Sunday morning. And if they walk up to our doors and they see super-duper old people standing there, not as old as Debbie, though. But no. Reverse. Wow. I said that wrong. But here's the deal. Listen. How amazing would it be if when a family shows up at church and the students walk up to our doors and they see someone who looks like them greeting them at the doors? Man, how good does that look? How important is that? How great is that? I want you guys involved. I want you serving. And we're going to do some, we're going to plan some things. We're going to plan different service projects for us to do around our community so we can show the love of Jesus and so we can give back and serve and love other people. What time is it? Can we have our band come back up? And we're going to close out. The last thing is this. One thing that I'm excited for is we are relaunching our student leadership team. We are relaunching that. And here's the deal. This is going to be open, not open for everyone. This is going to be open for seniors, juniors, and sophomores. And I know, and I get it, there's a lot of you guys who have great leadership potential and great You are really sharp and you're really good, but here's what we're setting it up for these groups to be able to step into leadership. And as that grows, who knows? We'll expand it maybe a little bit more. But we're opening up. We're starting a student leadership team. And if you feel like that, you want to be engaged in that, you want to be involved in that. Maybe you feel like you love our church, you love Emerge, you love what we're doing here, and you want to be involved in how we're going to lead the way and how we're going to reach people, then you need to sign up. There's a sign-up sheet in the back. But here's the deal. If you're going to be involved in this team, I'm going to ask some commitment for you. I'm going to ask you to live, to be at a higher level. I'm going to ask you to lead the way, do some things that not everyone else is willing to do, to step into some roles that not everyone else is willing to do. So this is a big deal to me. So tonight, here's the deal. You need to make a decision. We all got to make a decision. Are we going to commit to lead the way? Are we going to commit to this? Are we going to let God do some great things in our life and in this season? And I want this year, 2020, to be a landmark year for you. I want this year for you to be the year that you find hope. I want this to be the year that you find joy, the year that you find your purpose, the year that you find victory in your lives. And that victory can only come through Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:2, Paul is talking about all these things and he's talking about God and Jesus, but he says this, out of everything I know, I'm determining to only preach to you Jesus Christ and him crucified. See, Paul, he was a very intelligent man. He was highly intelligent, and he knew the Old Testament, he knew the law, he knew the prophecies, he knew all these things. But out of all of this great knowledge that he knew, he made the decision to only preach Jesus and him crucified. What does that mean? It means that's the thing that truly matters. That's the thing that truly matters is who Jesus is and what he's done and how he's changed our lives. Jesus came to the earth. He grew to be a man to show us the way, and he died on a cross for yours and for my sins. And all the things that hold you back from a relationship with Jesus and all the things that keep you from being close to him, Jesus went ahead and he nailed those things on a cross with himself. And when he died on that cross, when he was crucified, our sins were crucified on that cross as well. And when he was buried, our sins were buried with him. But when Jesus rose from the dead 3 days later, our sins stayed in that grave and Jesus rose to eternal life. So if I claim Christ, if I claim Jesus and his crucifixion and his life and his death and his burial and his resurrection, if I claim Christ, then I claim eternal life. So out of all the things that you're going to have options to do this year, let's make Jesus number one. I know it sounds simple and there's some simple things, but at the same time, it's got to be a commitment. It's got to be a commitment to be here. It's got to be a commitment to show up, not just here, but to show up to your friends. I love how Austin talked about this last weekend, is that it's our responsibility to find the hurting, to reach out to the hurting, to continue to reach out to the hurting, to the helpless, to the hopeless, to the lost, and not just watch those people just walk away or step away. Of all the things you could have the option to do this year, make Jesus number one. Make Jesus number one. That's how we'll lead the way. We lead the way in our own lives and we help others find the way. Disciples make disciples. And that's how I want to challenge you. Next week, we're going to come back and unpack this even a little bit further. But this is our theme for the year. This is how we're going to lead the way. There's some things that we're going to do. And I'm asking you guys as Emerge Youth to rise up, to step up to that next level. Let's commit this year to reaching people. Let's commit to this year to helping our friends. Not even our friends. Our friends are so important, but let's help the lost, help the people who don't know Jesus. Let's help people find new life in Jesus. And let's see some lives change this year. I want to celebrate some miracles in this room. I love to celebrate salvation because that means for someone stepped out of a life of death into a full life with Jesus. Man, what a miracle. What an opportunity. Man, and there's nothing, those of you guys who raised your hands earlier, who you've led someone in a relationship with Jesus, man, there's nothing like that. There's nothing like helping someone find a new life in Jesus.